This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And we've got interesting variety of music for you on the show today. Coming up later, we have Songstress from Philadelphia, Gina Cecilia, who is going to be at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. And we caught her on her way there from Indianapolis. And she's going to be playing on the second part of the show, live in our studio. First part of the show will be with Douglas Ewart, who is a composer, multi-instrumentalist, instrument maker, improviser, and he's in residence at the University of Illinois this week at Unit 1 Allen Hall on campus, and then also on Thursday giving a Sudden Sound concert at the Krannert Art Museum on Peabody Drive on campus in the Champaign part of town. So that's our show. Hope you'll stick around. I think it should be quite interesting. Here's Sir James Galway with a group from Cuba called Tiempo Libre. We heard Tiempo Libre, the name of the group from Cuba, along with flutist Sir James Galway in a piece by Jorge Gomez, who is a member of the leader of Tiempo Libre. That's called Tika Tika. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I'm pleased to welcome on the show today, for the first part of the show, Douglas Ewart, who is originally from Jamaica, currently residing, I think, in Minneapolis.
Yes, correct.
And is in residence this week at Allen Hall, Unit 1, as it's called. Sort of an interesting kind of multidisciplinary student. It's not a student-run effort, but it's for the students primarily, but events are open to the public this week, and all happening over at Allen Hall on the University of Illinois campus, and there's a number of different things, including on Thursday evening, he's going to be giving a concert at the Krannert Art Museum on the U of I campus on Peabody Drive. And I'm just realizing that I left some of my information on the printer, so I'm going to have to run out and get that at some point. But in any event, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here in Champaign-Urbana. I was once here in Unit 1 in 1981, and so it's really great to be here. And it's both something that's brought by the school, and the students are very much involved in helping to publicize and to be, you know, part of the participants.
Well, Laura Haber is director of Unit 1, the one who sent me information about it. And why don't you give us a bit of background on yourself? How did you get involved at the various things you're doing? Composer, multi-instrumentalist, maker of instruments, improviser?
Well, I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. There we, as children, we made our own toys, which, you know, gave one the skill and the confidence to attempt building almost anything that you would utilize. I became interested in playing music in my early teens, although I didn't have any formal training. We began making instruments from cans in Jamaica, and Nyabingi drumming was one of my first inspirations to become a player. Count Ozzie and the Mystic Revelation of Rastafari, for those of you who know him, and those of you that don't, you might want to get some of the Mystic Revelations music. Groundation is a wonderful CD to start with. In any event, I used to go and see Count Ozzie play as a young man, and that made me want to play, and I began playing, attempting to play the repeater drums, learning the rhythms that I had heard. And upon migration to the United States in 1963, I some years later, after graduating from high school, I purchased an alto saxophone, began teaching myself, and eventually started taking lessons from the AACM, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. And one of my first instructors was Joseph Jarman, member of the Art Ensemble of Chicago. And I later studied theory with Mual Richard Abrams, Anthony Braxton, and went to several universities and colleges in the Chicago area. And some of my notable teachers were Maureen Mullally, James Mack, and Victor Zajac, and so on.
So are you able to say at this point what kind of music you play?
I hope it's good.
And you're playing one of your instruments right there.
Yeah, I hope it's good music. I try to stay away from labels and genres and things of that nature because I'm really interested in music of all kinds, and music of all kinds have influenced my work. One of my grandmothers was into listening to church music, and we sang church music in her house. And my other grandmother was into Bach and Liszt and so on. And then I grew up around rhythm and blues, jazz, country music. And then after I immigrated to the United States, I became interested in Japanese music, particularly music of the shakuhachi and the koto. I used to listen to field recordings, and that's how I became acquainted with the didgeridoo from the Australian Aboriginals. So I have an eclectic palette, and I love all forms of music and art, and that has really influenced my work. I write music, I improvise, and I see no boundaries between sounds.
Speaking of sounds, the thing that people may have heard just as you were talking there, yes, for a little bit, is this an instrument you made? And
yes.
What is it?
It's made of bamboo, and I became acquainted with bamboo as a child. We made our own kites and bow and arrows and things of that nature, and we used bamboo. Bamboo grows very prolifically in the Caribbean, and there are about 2,000 species of bamboo throughout our planet. This is called a roar flute, and those of you that have made a little device using a button on strings and you pull it, you twirl it to get it wound up, and then you pull it and you allow your hands to go in, and then you pull out and you go in and out. This is the same principle that manipulates this roar flute. This is a piece of bamboo with two blowholes in it, and it's a wonderful flute, as you can see. And it's depending on the speed at which you, or the velocity of it, you get a higher pitch and a more relaxed kind of sound when you do it really gently and you don't pull it. So it has a slower velocity right now. Speed, it's much quicker now. So I love the sounds. It sounds very much like birds cooing.
Well, that's what I was thinking, different kinds of birds depending on the speed, or at least different amounts, different frenzied activity.
Yes.
What would you do with that, or what have you done with that in a musical context?
Actually, I have a piece on one of my recordings where I did a piece called Ancestors Flying, and I used maybe 7 or 8 people to play various ones in various ranges, and that's how I used it. I used it just as sound, bird sounds, and we came in at different parts or different times within the composition, just utilizing that sound, which is very engaging.
You have a whole bevy of instruments here, some of which, it looks like, I'm guessing that maybe all but one of them you may well have made. I'm assuming you didn't make the, what is that, an alto clarinet?
Yeah, I didn't make the alto clarinet. But I feel confident that if I had the right machinery, I could do it.
You could do it.
And I say that to say, I implore parents to get their children involved in making items, no matter how simple they are, because it's a very instructive engagement. It makes one grow a kind of inner confidence, and that you don't feel that anything is beyond your reach. And I think that children that grow up making things for themselves are less likely to become vandals, because you have a greater respect for things that are made. You know the kind of energy and intellect that is required to be a person that makes, designs, invent things. And the sooner you can start, the better. We buy so many things for our children that they're unable to fix. And as soon as they have a problem with them, we throw them away and we buy a new one. Often it only requires some simple thing to be fixed and we can continue. And this idea of ready disposal of things is something that carries over in many of our conduct. I go to parties and there are wonderful plastic items, forks and spoons and cups and plates that could be used over and over again. But because of what I call false affluence, that we feel that we've purchased it and it doesn't cost that much more, we can buy another set, so just discard them. And as a result, we have tremendous amount of garbage each day. Millions of tons, or probably billions of tons, of things are discarded throughout the United States each day. So if we had the mentality from each activity that we're engaged in, and an attitude carries over to every other aspect of our lives.
So it sounds to me like there is a definite social aspect to your art.
Oh, absolutely. I hope so. You know, yesterday I was having a discussion with some of the students at the school, and I was saying that if we're such a sophisticated society, if we're so engaged with music and fine arts, what are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to propel us to do? And if they're helping us to think, then we need to, you know, if you eat really good food and you don't exercise, it's almost pointless. So you not only have to eat the food, but you have to do the other conducts that enhance that. And I think that we need to interrogate our conduct at all times. What is it we're doing? And one of the things I implore people to do is to get a cloth bag or several cloth bags so that we don't have to have this constant throwaway mentality of plastic bags. You buy a toothpick and they give you a plastic bag to put it in, and we don't say no. We take the bag. You buy a stick of gum, and it doesn't make any sense. And the same thing with discarding things, that if we would just take a little time to wash things. One of my other concerns is water, and since we're talking about washing things, I go to my friends' homes, they're washing dishes, and they run the water for the whole time they're washing the dishes. Now, when I grew up, we had a container that we made soap water in and one that we rinsed the items in. And it seems that something that simple, people don't seem to know that today. And it's crucial. Water is, it's already that agent that, we can't live with it, without it. You know, we can live without food even for a fairly good amount of time, a week or two, or and some people even up to 3 weeks have shown that. But you can't do without water. So if we don't start looking at it as a precious item now, before the crisis occurs, we're going to be in big trouble. I understand that right now Singapore is recycling its sewage water. I hope we won't get to that because that kind of thing makes people sick. But what I'm saying about art is we have to use it as a vehicle for change, and change starts with us. So if we can do the simple things like get a permanent cup that we use for our coffee and get some shopping bags, I think we could be a revolutionary if we just did that much.
And make some of our own instruments so that we have, as kids, as you said, we have trained ourselves to appreciate.
And you have unique things. You have things that no one else has. I have some instruments that no one else has.
Well, you're holding one of them right now.
Right. I'm going to give you a little sample of it, too. It's actually two or three instruments in one, depending on how you view it. I'm going to first play the bass flute part, and then I'll play what's called the palm flute area, which is manipulated by the palm, and then it can also be utilized as a percussion instrument.
Well, initially, when you pulled it up, I thought, oh, that's a didgeridoo, and then as soon as you started to hold it, I thought, uh-oh.
I have a didgeridoo on hand.
You got one, yeah. So I counted two aspects of that instrument, but I think I must have missed the third one. That's the palm flute part of it.
Yes. This is the palm flute, and I'm actually using my palm to strike it as though I'm doing a drum. So you get that percussive kind of.
And there's
element.
An open end to that?
Yeah, it's actually, there's a division here. The bass part of the instrument that you heard first is blocked from here down, and then from here up, which is about 7 inches, is the palm flute. And it has a different blowhole from the bass flute side. And there's a natural block in bamboo, which is called a node here. The rest of the tube, the bamboo tube, I removed the nodes 1, 2, 3, areas where the node has been removed in order to make a tube approximately 3.5 feet long.
And it's about 2 inches in diameter, looks
yes.
like. Something
yes.
like that. And
yes.
you've painted it in a colorful way and carved some
yes.
carving on it as well.
Yes.
And that is a creation of Douglas Ewart here, heard on Live and Local. He's going to be, well, he is in residence this week. Got in last Saturday night, I guess, sometime.
Yes.
At Unit 1 Allen Hall on the University of Illinois campus and has events each evening. And I'll tell you what, why don't we hear a little bit of a CD you brought along?
Oh, good.
Who all is involved in this one?
That CD is... Jacqueline Ulton is playing cello. Stephen Goldstein is playing computer percussion. He's programmed it to do drumming. And Dean Granius is playing guitar.
And what are you doing?
And I'm doing the recitation. This is a piece called BP, and I'll let the piece speak for itself.
Speaking of the value of water...
The value of water and the value of life and our addiction to oil is a serious one. And so we'll let you hear some of BP and then we can get back to a little more playing before I have to go.
Douglas Ewart on Live and Local. That was a composition by and recitation by Douglas Ewart with various colleagues with him on that recording. He is going to be at Allen Hall, part of the Unit 1 program at the University of Illinois. He's got he had an opening program there last night. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, a program called Make a Functioning, Durable, and Beautiful Musical Instrument! Exclamation point. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, there's an improvisation workshop where you can learn how to improvise music and to interpret and compose using graphic notation. And you're welcome to bring an instrument if you have one, but you don't have to. Musicians and non-musicians are welcome. At 8:30 tomorrow night, there's more instrument making. And I presume that you could, if you went there tonight, you could, on Tuesday, you could bring the instrument you made on Monday.
Exactly. And if you haven't completed it, you can come on back and finish it on Tuesday. And I'm welcoming you to come on out and help us make some wonderful creations. And then we'll have an opportunity to utilize them on Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. So
it's just Wednesday there'll be a drum circle with Rastafarian rhythms and songs.
Yes, and you could bring the instruments back that you've constructed the first two evenings.
And then Thursday, there's a pre-show lecture demonstration at the Cranet Art Museum East Gallery, 7 o'clock on Thursday, and then a concert at 7:30 with yourself and Stephen Goldstein. Now,
yes.
Who is he?
Stephen Goldstein is the percussionist we heard on the BP recording.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And he's someone that I've been, collaborating with for the past 20 years. He's a master musician. And for those of you that are interested in utilizing the new technology in making music, Steve is very versed and will be glad to speak with those of you that are, you have a laptop, most of us do. You can utilize it in making music. You can use your iPod now. In fact, you can use your telephone now. So come on out on Thursday night, meet Steve Goldstein and myself. If you've not had the opportunity to come out to some of the workshops, do come out to the concerts and bring the young people with you.
And these are all free.
They're all free.
Yeah.
Free and open.
To the and public.
This is real free, not that gimmick.
What have you got here, Douglas?
I have a slide didgeridoo.
Slide didgeridoo?
Yeah, I made one so that I'm able to not have to walk around with a 10-foot one. And this one is about 4 feet, and with its extension, it's about 8 feet long. And so you can get really low frequencies with it. And as you will hear, I'll play a little bit for you, and then maybe we'll just talk a little bit about the origin of the instrument.
Okay. Douglas Ewart with both didgeridoo with extension, and I'm not seeing one quite like that. And then also, I guess you call that other just a rain stick. Is there a fancier name to it than that?
It's called rain stick, pá de chuva in Brazil, baton parábola in Gabon, Africa. It's an ancient instrument. They said that the ones that we've come to know in this hemisphere is compilation of ideas from the Peruvians and from the Africans that were brought here as slaves. And traditionally, those instruments are made from dry cactus, where the needles are removed and turned back inside of the stick, and then pebbles are placed inside. The one that you hear me utilizing, I made it, and it's made from a very dense, compressed cardboard tube. By the way, we'll be making some rain sticks at the workshop, so those of you that love rain sticks, we'll make them, and there are different methods. We'll use one of the easier methods of constructing them for the workshop, and I'll also show you a more intricate way of doing it. So that's the rain stick that we just were listening to. It was used as a ritual implement to ask the gods to send rain in the time of drought and to stop the rain in the time of floods. It was used along with songs and dances from Mexico all the way down through Central and South America. The other instrument is the didgeridoo, which was invented by the Aboriginals of Australia. It's said anywhere from 40 to 60,000 years ago. So it's one of mankind's oldest wind instrument. And although it's a simple-looking instrument, it's very complex in terms of the sounds that are generated and the techniques utilized in playing the instrument. It's fundamentally a drone instrument that was used for initiation of young men. Women were not permitted to come within range of hearing it, let alone to see it. And of course, things have changed now, and there are women that play the didgeridoo. In fact, in my band called Douglas Stewart and Inventions, I taught one of the vocalists to play, and she's becoming quite a proficient at playing the didgeridoo. As I was saying, traditionally, I didn't really mention this part. The instrument is made from bamboo. The first ones were made of bamboo because of bamboo's ready availability, and also because bamboo is already a tube, and it's very difficult to make tubes. Those of us that are engaged in building instruments know the intricacies of doing something like that. So bamboo is wonderful because once you remove the nodes that block the passage in the stalk of bamboo, you have a tube. And bamboo is utilized. And then Aboriginals discovered that eucalyptus trees, especially in the northern area where the didgeridoo originates, in Harnham Land, northeast, near Darwin, northwest Australia, you have eucalyptus trees that are eaten by termites, the limbs are, and Aboriginals have an ingenious way of going and tapping them, and they can choose the ones that are pretty much ready to be utilized for constructing a didgeridoo. If the inside has not been excavated enough by the termites, they will do so by burning out the inside further. I also use bamboo. I have some glass ones. I have some made of porcelain. I experiment with everything, iron. And this one, that's a slide didgeridoo, it's made from a kind of plastic called micarta, and it's been tooled on a lathe so that the piece that goes inside of another tube has a really close tolerance, very much like a slide of a trombone. It's about 2.5 inches in diameter, and it looks like wood, but it's been wrapped with canvas and painted with a paint to give it a deceptive look of being wood.
Well, you have some beautiful instruments here and some really interesting sounds, and we're going to have to encourage people to go out and see you the next few nights and learn how to make some of this stuff and hear you perform on some of them. And
that
it's
would be
Douglas
wonderful.
Douglas Ewart with us here on Live and Local. Do you have a website, Douglas?
Yes, www.Douglas, last name spelled Ewart. www.DouglasEwart.com.
And you can find out all about him. But for this week, he's doing a instrument making workshop tonight at 7, improvisation workshop tomorrow at 7, and then more instrument making tomorrow night at 8:30, a drum circle Wednesday night at 7, and then a concert and lecture demonstration 7 o'clock. The first events are all at Unit 1, at Allen Hall on the University of Illinois campus, and then Thursday's event is at the Krannert Art Museum and Kincaid Pavilion on the University of Illinois campus on Peabody Drive. And I'm afraid, Douglas, we're going to have to...
We're out of time.
Yeah, it's flown by. Maybe we ought to have you come back on Thursday.
I'd love to come back. So thank you for listening. Please do come out. And I inveigle you to bring the kids. I love to have kids. They're the greatest audience. They tell it like it is.
And they would have they will have a grand time. A little alto clarinet just as a precursor here on Live and Local. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Swire's Land and Management Company, Danville, EAG Company Incorporated, Fairmount, Colonial Pantry, Champaign, United Council Staff Union of Illinois. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much. And then beginning on Thursday, WYLL and its community partners will team up again to fight hunger. This year, for every pledge made to WYLL Radio, Common Ground Food Co-op will donate the cost of 6 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Your pledge during our 3-day mini drive will support inspiring music and help to fund hunger, to fight hunger here in our community. Coming up in just a few moments, singer Gina Cecilia, who's going to be at the Alamo in Springfield this very evening. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard a woman who was on our show not too long ago named Somi. She was at the Krannert Center doing a number of kind of cabaret performances. She's originally from around here and now based in New York. And that was called If the Rains Come First. And then we heard a little bit of Jewel of His Soul. Those are both compositions by Somi. And, of course, she had various colleagues joining her on that recording, which is called, in fact, If the Rains Come First. So that was this title track. You're listening to Live and Local on Illinois Public Media. Support for our show comes in part from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in their rhythmically rousing concert celebrating Valentine's Day with pianist Jade Simmons, featuring the music of Rachmaninoff, Gershwin, Bernstein, and Ravel's Bolero on Saturday, February 12th at Sangamon Auditorium, Springfield, and Sunday, February 13th at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Information is at ilsymphony.org. And we'll be having Jade Simmons on our show, I think, on Thursday here on Live and Local. But next up is Gina Cecilia, who is a vocalist from Philadelphia.
Yes, Philadelphia.
And she's with guitarist Dave Gross. They're part of, there's an additional couple of band members who are all going to be playing tonight at the Illinois Central Blues Club at the Alamo in Springfield, located at 115 North 15th Street. That's going to start, I think, at 7 o'clock is your show?
I think it's 8:30.
Is it 8:30?
8:30.
Because I noticed I didn't write the time down here, so I'll take your word for it, because you probably know. And you were just in Indianapolis last night or Saturday?
Saturday night, yeah.
And
we were there.
So you were kind enough to sort of, we're about halfway through. are halfway between there and Springfield, so you're able to drop in today. I said to you just as before we came on that this is going to end up being a little bit like, you know, the David Letterman show or something like that, where the musical act comes on at the end. So here you are. I had hoped to give you a little bit more time, but better something than nothing. Why don't we just start out with a song?
Okay.
And then we'll hear a little bit about you.
All right. Well, how about we do Before the Night is Through?
Okay.
This is a song I wrote off of my latest release. Actually, it's not out yet. It's officially out in stores and available online on March 1st in a couple of weeks.
Is this the one you just handed me?
Yeah, the one I just handed you.
Can't Control Myself.
Yeah, it's called Can't Control Myself. And the song we're going to do is a tune that I wrote on the CD called Before the Night is Through. It goes like this.
Will you ask me to dance before the music's over and the night is through? Will you twirl me and swirl me just like in the old days they used to do? And if my feet get tired, will you pull me aside and say I love you? Will you ask me to dance before the night is through? Before the band stops playing, will you keep on saying those sweet tender words? Will you wind me and dine me like they do in Paris, or so I've heard? And if my lips get lonely, will you move in slowly and say I love you? Will you kiss me with love before the night is through? Close the curtain and the band is certain. Time for one more song. Will you gaze in my eyes like in romantic movies from days gone by? And if I'm feeling lonely, will you be my only because I love you? Will you ask me to dance before night is through?
Gina Cecilia with Dave Gross here on Live and Local, live in our studio. They're going to be at the Illinois Central Blues Club at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. And I'm looking at the biographical blurb I pulled off your website, which has some nice information on it, particularly given that you really just kind of got started in this business just a few years ago.
Yeah.
2007 or so. You have a CD out then called Allow Me to Confess, which was heavy blues influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have the newer one, Hey Sugar, which brings in some additional styles and some country and Americana, yeah. Whatever that means these days. And then you already mentioned one that is about to be released next month with the intriguing title of Can't Control Myself.
Yeah.
What does that refer to?
Well, it's actually a song on the album. Yeah, it's a title track.
And where does that come from? I haven't had a chance to hear it. You just handed it to me, so...
The song title?
Yeah.
Well, it's a song about not being able to control yourself when you're in the presence of someone you really admire.
Oh, okay. And
I inspired this song.
You inspired that song, did you?
Probably.
Oh, she refers to you here as the insanely talented Dave Gross. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what it says right here on her very website. And says you played every instrumental track on the record except for trumpet, sax, and one lap steel track. So I want to know, what are you slacking for if you can't play those instruments either?
I don't know. Well, I do play trumpet and sax a little bit, but I just, not well enough to put it on her album.
And you co-produced and engineered this album that's just about to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he produced it and he engineered it. Yeah, he did everything. He did everything. He did the artwork.
So do you still consider yourself a blues artist at this point? Or because you're going to be playing at a blues club tonight, but it sounds like hardly exclusively.
Really? Yeah. It's really hard at this point in my life, in my career, to pigeonhole myself as being just one thing, because I love so many kinds of music. I love singing and writing so many kinds of music and performing it. So it's really hard to say. That's why sometimes, especially with some of the new songs on the new album, I like to label them Americana, because they're just a mixture of different forms of American music that I love, like blues and soul and country and jazz. And so that's why.
So it's whatever,
it's hard to label.
Whatever comes off your pen, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just me.
Well, let's have another sample of you, Gina Cecilia, with Dave Gross.
Okay. Okay. You just play the first chord of the song I think we're going to do.
Do you want
it? Okay. All right. Here's another song. It's the first track from the new CD out again on March 1st. And it's a song I wrote called Addicted.
I take a puff of my Camel pipe and drink up all I got. Pull a dollar out my pocket, put a quarter in the slot. Then I pull on the lever, find out what I'm gonna win. The only place I'm going is the only place I've been, 'cause I'm addicted. I think I'll have another round. I love the way it tastes, I love the way it feels as it's going down. Now they say they wanna send me to some place out in the west, when nobody's gonna judge me, where the doctors are the best. But I think I'll sit right here and feel nothing tonight, 'cause the feeling of not feeling is really feeling really nice. 'Cause I'm addicted, I think I'll have another round. I love the way it tastes, I love the way it feels as it's going down. I don't care anymore if what you think I'm doing is done. I don't care anymore. face. You're a fool to think I'm truthful. I've been lying through my teeth. My temper's running high. I need that wine to smooth me out. You just don't really get it. You don't know what it's about to be addicted. I think I have another round. I love the way it tastes. I love the way it feels as it's going down.
Addicted, song by Gina Cecilia, sung by Gina Cecilia with guitarist Dave Gross from her, it's the opening track on her CD called Can't Control Myself. It'll be out next month, and you can find out more about her and her various albums at Gina Cecilia. That's GinaCecilia.com. And she's going to be at Illinois Central Blues Club at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. Our program today is made possible with support from Pecora Bistro and Bakery, offering made-to-order hot and cold sandwiches, crepes, soups, and sandwiches all day long. More information is at pecora-bakery.com. And we have support from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana. For more information, go to Facebook, Bouvon Wine Bar. It's Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM, Urbana.